I'm Lori Kennedy, mom and CEO of the Wellness Business Hub, and in 1999, I made a decision to enter into the health and fitness world, and that's where I've stayed. I went from being a personal trainer to a registered holistic nutritionist, and now I am the proud founder and CEO of our global community of practitioners, coaches, and fit pros, and our multi-million dollar company at the Wellness Business Hub. The best part about all of this is that I never had a business plan or any formal business, financial, marketing, or sales background. As I've taken massive imperfect action to grow my company, I realized that an important part of growing and scaling is about figuring out how to become more of who I am meant to be, in addition to all of the business stuff required to hit my goals. And as I've grown both personally and professionally, I developed a deep sense of responsibility to pass on the experiences, strategies, and lessons to you. So each week, I'll share empowering, practical, and tangible episodes that gives you the steps to take to become more of who you are meant to be so that you can build the business and life of your dreams all on your own terms. This is the Business of Becoming podcast. Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Business of Becoming podcast, Millionaire Mindset Series. I'm your host, Lori Kennedy, and this is episode 189. And it's the final episode in our series, and I think I saved the best for last. In this episode, I chatted with Hina Khan, and she honestly blew my mind. Hina is a peak performance coach and registered psychotherapist and has been a student of the mind, human behavior, and human potential for over a decade. Hina guides mentors and people to work through seemingly unbreakable barriers, whether it be creating quantum leaps in their business or exceeding their own personal goals. She does this by exploring and challenging the thoughts and beliefs that hold so many of us back. And we talked about specific blocks that entrepreneurs go through, and she gave amazing strategies that I know will help you process through your own blocks that are holding you back. Hina believes coaching is a powerful tool for change as one aligns with their purpose, vision, and goals, allowing them to have mastery in both their personal and professional lives. She has trained extensively with her mentor, Bob Proctor, and is one of the top consultants for the Thinking Into Results program. Her extensive training at the Distinguished Center for Training in Psychotherapy anchors her coaching expertise. This is a really powerful episode, and I purposefully left it for last. So without further ado, let's bring Hina to the show. Welcome back, everybody, to the Millionaire Mindset Series. And as I said, you know, throughout all of these different interviews, you can't model what you don't see. And when we don't talk about these topics, they are very powerful in all of the wrong ways. And so what I wanted to do with this series is really bring to the forefront and really have open discussions with all of the various female business owners and leaders and experts to really just talk about what goes into growth personally, professionally, right? When you are reaching for a level of success that is few and far between for women, right? It's less common for women to have a seven-figure, multi-seven-figure business, especially one that they've sort of grown by themselves from the ground up, than it is for men. And it's just different for females. And so I'm so honored to have Hina here today, and we're going to have a really open conversation about wanting it for the sake of wanting it without having to justify it and not making it as difficult as you're currently making it. So welcome. I gave a little bit of an intro or your bio in the intro, but why don't you just share a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thrilled to be here, Lori. So I'm a registered psychotherapist. I'm a peak performance coach, and I work in the field of mind, you know, beliefs, habits, behaviors, because here's what I know. it doesn't matter how brilliant you are. It doesn't matter how skilled you are. If you do not deal with your paradigms, which is your subconscious beliefs, you will not get to where you want to go. Your goals will always seem elusive. That's usually the stumbling block for most people. And so that's the field that I work in, and I've been in it for over a decade now.
Yeah. And these are the kinds of conversations that I love and have craved as I was growing my business. Mm-hmm. You know, before we hit record, I was sharing that the majority of the sort of business development, business growth groups I've been in have been men. And the conversations are very different. And then when I get into conversation with friends and peers that are female, we don't talk about our metrics. We talk about, you know, like, do you still want to have sex with your husband at the end of the day? You know, like, how do you switch from being the boss and the CEO to, you know, the wife, the mother, the partner, the friend, the daughter, whatever? And, you know, what you said at the beginning, these paradigm shifts, I think, make it challenging for some of us. I won't speak for all of us, but I know for myself, I had to do a lot of digging into, you know, I call them cultural norms, paradigm shifts, whatever, you know, maybe there's a difference, I don't know, but just these sort of ideals that I believed or the narrative that I believed that I should subscribe to contradicted how I felt in my body. Mm-hmm. So do you want to maybe just start off by talking about what the paradigms are, mm-hmm. Just so that we can start to recognize them for ourselves in our own lives.
Yeah, great. So a paradigm is a set of habits or beliefs. They're in the subconscious mind, and they have been things, like you said, our cultural norms. It's been things that's been repeated to us. That is how they're formed, is through repetition. And they've been repeated to us through us in our family or inferred. So many people, and it's a belief. It's just a belief. And it's not, a paradigm is not bad or good. It just is.
Right.
So sometimes we have paradigms that were really helpful for us. They got us to a certain point, but we've outgrown them. It's kind of like on our computer where we have to download new software. So when you've got paradigms or these beliefs that are the belief of a six-figure business owner, the belief of a seven-figure business owner is much different. So you can be working really hard and trying to be this seven-figure business owner with a six-figure business owner mindset. And it's going to be really hard and a struggle. And I would I'd probably say you're not going to make it. And if you do, you're going to be burnt out and miserable.
Yeah.
And maybe not with many friends left, because nobody's going to want to be around you. So it's even your beliefs about, even like, it's the beliefs about everything. It's the beliefs about what does it take to make seven figures? Mm-hmm. What is a seven figure business? What do you need for seven figures? So what happens is we're running on outdated programming.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are running on outdated programming where they are, trying to use an old mindset for a new model. And it's kind of like a computer. You know, when you've got a virus, it's not that it stops working, but it just slows everything down.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. An old program for a new model?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I for those of you, you know, listening, I want you just to take that in and think of the beliefs that you are currently operating, these things that you have in your mind that you're saying to yourself over and over again, you know, do they need an upgrade? Right? And I think for most of us, I know for myself, like, I've needed to upgrade. I don't even know what version I'm on right now. Like, I lost count, you know? And sometimes you do upgrade after upgrade after upgrade, and it comes really, really fast. And then, at least in my experience, you can sort of, like, maybe one upgrade lasts you some time. And then for me, at least, I see it in the business stalling in growth, but I also get bored. And yes. I can feel the tension in my body when I'm operating under paradigms, beliefs that are not serving me at that upgrade level. Mm-hmm. And I can feel it in my body. It feels like frustration. It feels like anxiety, right? It feels like that. And it's interesting to me, and maybe you can shed some light on this, you know, why so much fear about growth? Because, like, I see it in women all the time. They're so afraid to reach for more. They're so afraid to put themselves out there. They're so afraid to ask for what they deserve. They're so afraid to ask for help. They're so afraid to shine, right? And yet they want all of the rewards that come with doing all of those things, but they don't do them because they're so scared. Is that because of the paradigms? That is it, like the beliefs that they're operating with?
Yeah, many people that, so it's so common to have all of those fears. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time, in my experience, the belief underneath that is that they won't be liked. Like, and what will people think? What will people think? They'll think that all I care about is money. They'll think that, you know, that I've changed. Like, who am I to do this? Yeah. And sometimes it's deeper than that. It's even things like, we never did this in my family. So I will lose something. I will lose approval. My parents will think, wow, you've changed. Look at you now. And people won't understand me. And so we're very aware, even if we don't want it, we're very aware of what we will lose, but we can't measure what we will gain. So it really does take a leap. And where the, you know, where the growth has to happen there is our self-image, because we can't outperform our self-image. And so it's kind of like, if you think of a thermostat, for example, your thermostat is set. So for anyone that's listening to this, think of the sales, the revenue you made last year and the last few years. Were they pretty much around the same, give or take? And let's say they were. So I want you to think of that as a thermostat setting in your mind. This is a cybernetic mechanism, and this comes out of the work of self-image psychology. And Dr. Maxwell Maltz, who wrote a great book called Psycho-Cybernetics, says that we all have this cybernetic mechanism. So what that means is, like a thermostat, your thermostat is set in your home. Let's say it's winter in Canada, in Toronto, and it's set. And then you open up the door to let furniture in, to move some stuff in. And the door's open for quite a bit. So the thermostat drops, the temperature drops in the house.
Right.
So what the thermostat is going to do is it's going to try to get it back to its set point. So if you've been making the same amount in your business for a few years in a row, that is your set point. Mm-hmm. So it's actually not comfortable to go above that. And this is all unconscious. So for example, if you're used to making a certain amount a year or a month even, when you reach it, your programming is saying, great, we're done. Now we can relax. It will take its foot off the gas. It will just start to not move into the actions that you would move into automatically if you didn't hit that goal.
Right.
So part of it is programming. It's our set points, and it's definitely fear. And a lot of the fear comes from the fear of loss of something, of approval, what people will think, and people.
Yeah. And I 100% had that for a long time, where I was really nervous to really show up as the successful sort of CEO that I am, because I've spoken about this a lot, because I didn't want the other moms to say exactly like, who do you think you are, or you're rich, or you think you're so cool, or whatever. And to be judged and left out of the circles. And so for a long time, I really kept it small. I kept it, you know, sort of secret. I kept it under wraps, and I kept it sort of small. And interestingly, just last week at the time of recording this, I put something on my personal page which showed the revenue over the last 4 years, and I was physically nauseous putting this out and afraid, because I knew that some of the response was going to be show off, or who does she think she is, or why does it matter, or must be nice for her, or oh, she's rich so she doesn't give an F, you know. And that wasn't the intention behind the post, but that stuff came up and I posted it anyway as a challenge to myself, almost to just reset that belief.
Absolutely.
In myself.
Yeah.
Because I felt myself bumping up against the thermostat, mm-hmm. Which I identified as like an upper level limit issue.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of people have that. What are some ways that we can combat that, that we can start to like process through that and elevate the thermostat?
Well, the first thing is that I think you have to start to understand who you are and understand that nature is for fuller expression and expansion. It is in your DNA. You are wired to want more. We are wired for that. You know, remember when phones, well, maybe some of you don't remember, but phones used to be attached to the wall, my friends. Let me give you a shocker. They were attached to the walls. And then it was like, I wonder what it would be if we could walk around the house with them. Then we had cordless. And then I was like, could we go outside? And, you know, that's evolution. This is how it happens. So the first thing is to accept that your desire for more, it's not a bad thing. It's actually a really, it's a good thing, and that you are not benefiting anybody by keeping yourself small. The other thing is, I think there's a few things. One, you have to take 100% responsibility for your results. So I always say, if it's on your plate, you ordered it. And I know some people are like, oh no, no, I would not have ordered that. And I get it, because there are some things that I ordered that I really think they made a mistake in the kitchen, right. But I co-created it somehow. And so if I'm going to take responsibility for all of my results 100%, that means that if I'm not going for it, that's my responsibility. I can't blame my past. I can't blame, you know, my history. And history puts limitations on us. I think at some point, and I think now with what's happening in the world, you can't be around small thinking people. It's dangerous to be around small thinking people. So you have to make a decision. The first step in anything is a decision. And I'm not talking about, something that you're interested in. You have to make a committed decision. When you have a committed decision, you do what it takes. When you're interested, you'll do what's convenient. So you've really got to decide that your goal, that you're committed to your goal. And I'll ask my clients, I'll say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you? If they give me a 9, if they give me a 9.5, if they give me a 9.9, I will tell them that's a 0. Anything other than a 10 is a 0, because you need to be that committed to it so that you can override it with those beliefs. So you can hit send, you can hit post when you're shaking in your boots and throwing up right after you post it, you know, so you can take, you know, you can take these kind of bites of bravery. Really, you're not going to be able to do that if you don't feel a strong desire and want for your goal.
Right. And I love that. And oh my God, I almost just burst down into tears when you said, because that's how I associate truth, is when you said it's dangerous to be around small thinking people. Yeah. I want to like put that on a loop. I want to buy the billboards. I like want to buy the bumper stickers and give it out to every single person that I know, because it's so true. And it's so interesting. And maybe this is just my own assumption, I don't know, but it's often those small people that we're most afraid of offending.
Yes.
Right?
Like, what I say, is that person paying your rent?
Right.
Because they don't get a vote.
Right.
They don't get a vote. Like, where are they in their life? And it's not that, here's what I want everyone to understand. I am not saying that you are better than anybody else, because then you're below somebody.
Right.
What I'm saying is that we're at different levels of awareness. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah.
And small thinking people are at a level of awareness that it's not going to be, there's going to be, so again, the 6-figure business owner and the 7-figure business owner, they're around different people.
Yes. Yes.
You're around different people. You start your days in different ways. You you prioritize things in a different way. You're thinking differently. Yes. There are things that are happening. So you can even just ask yourself, are the people that I'm surrounding myself with, and that can be listening to, watching on TV, if I was in my goal, from the place of my goal, would they be in my life?
That's so good. And I wanna sort of just share a little bit about how I deal with that, because I have people in my life who are, I feel like calling them small thinkers is rude, but they are. They are at that level of awareness where they aren't maybe taking full responsibility. You know, they're blaming the kitchen for the mistakes instead of being like, I ordered all the things, right? Or at least co-created, right? And I still have them in my life, but I'm completely aware of the role that they play. Do you know what I mean? And I have a boundary with mm-hmm. them because I enjoy their company, frankly.
Absolutely.
So I have them as very close friends. I enjoy their company, but the boundary is such that their opinion of how I live my life is plays no consequence to me, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise we would be very annoyed with each other all the time because we would be judgy.
Yeah.
Because there's no, from an awareness level and a self-responsibility level, they're on two different continents. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have a great time, we're social, we're this, we're that, and that's okay, right? And that's okay, but I just think it's important to realize that when you are keeping yourself intentionally small to please those people, that's when we run into problems, yeah. right? I think that, whether that's your friend, your mother-in-law, the neighbor down the street, your mm-hmm. husband, your wife, whatever, your children, like, that's where we run into problems. And one of the things that I love that you said before we hit record is you're allowed to want what you want without having to justify it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. It's funny because you were giving some examples and I'm like, I did that in my mind as you were talking, you know, about justifying wealth because I have a nonprofit foundation that I'm going to give a lot of money to.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about not needing to justify the desire to have success?
So because nature is for fuller expression and expansion, this is part of you expressing yourself. It's like an idea, you know, there was someone, and I can't remember who said it, who said, I'm grateful for the idea that has used me. You know, if you have a thought, if you're consciously aware, oh my gosh, I would love to take my product to market. I would love if this became a big brand. You cannot have that awareness of that idea if you are not able to fulfill it. So just accept that, first of all. If you just have the conscious awareness of the idea, it is meant that you're able to execute it.
I literally need to jump out of my skin right now, because that is the most truth I have ever heard, because otherwise the idea wouldn't be implanted in your brain.
You wouldn't be aware of it. Like, you wouldn't. That's right. That's exactly it.
Oh, we need to just take a minute for that. That was serious. But then, this is my thought. It's like, well, I have 1,700 ideas a minute, right? So what do I do with all of those? But I think it's the greater concept that I wouldn't be the type of person that got 1,700 ideas if I couldn't fulfill the birth of something incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because other people don't get those ideas.
No. And then sometimes we think, well, like, you know, maybe somebody on this call or that's listening says, you know what, I think I've always wanted to be a coach, but there's so many coaches. Yeah, but there's something that you can bring that I can't bring, that Lori can't bring. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something about you and the way that you would deliver and touch somebody's life. And we rob people of us, to be honest, when we play small. So the first thing is to accept that an idea would not even be aware of an impulse if it wasn't possible for you to create it. And that in itself is enough. Now, because we worry about what people think, we worry that we must have a noble cause for us to be allowed to explore something like building wealth, that we couldn't just want that for a multitude of reasons, not realizing that money is energy. So it's just going to amplify who you are. If you're a jerk, you're going to be a jerk with a lot of money. If you're somebody that would be giving, you're going to be giving way more. And that's just who you're going to be. And that's, it's going to be a lot of fun too. You're going to have lots of fun in giving. But we feel we have to justify what we want because many of us have been told when we were growing up that wants are bad. You should be happy with what you've got. Don't you have enough? Look at other people. Don't be greedy. And we don't want to be bad. So we've associated wanting as bad. Now, you may say, yeah, but I understand intellectually that that's not true. Here's what I want you to hear is that that's the conscious mind. It's at the subconscious mind that determines your results, and that's how you feel about a situation. So you don't get what you want, you get how you feel about what you want. So if you want a seven-figure business, but you feel people will be chirping about you, talking about you at the playground, saying, who do you think you are? You're going to create the results based on how you feel, which means you're going to make it really hard. You're going to justify why you don't have to do it. And you're going to abandon the idea at some point. So you first have to even get comfortable with, if you have an idea, it's up to you to express it. It's your responsibility if you do, it's your responsibility if you don't. That it's, oh, accept that your wants are okay. You have to start reframing that. I would say that's the big thing. And then you've got to make some committed decisions and you've got to block out the noise.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is the heart. It's, you know, I wish that blocking out the noise and accepting boundaries for women would be easier. I think that women make it so hard to have boundaries that, again, it goes, I love that analogy where you were saying, you know, you ordered this, mm-hmm. right? And they make it so hard to have healthy boundaries for a multitude of reasons, but that end up being the excuses as to why they can't get to where they want to get to without realizing that they just needed to set the boundaries and sort of create space for it.
Well, what you're doing and what many people are doing in that situation is they're letting themselves be controlled by the circumstances. So when I work with my clients, this is a huge part of it, is that, so what happens is there's a pandemic. Well, now I can't sell. Now I can't do my, there's a pandemic. I feel like there's doom and I think now's not the right time to sell. This isn't the time to do things. I feel like, oh my gosh, it's doom and gloom. Things are at a loss. My results are that I have low sales and my business is falling apart. As opposed to deciding how do I want to think about, what result do I want? I want to have my best, I actually want to make my annual income in the first 6 months of the year. That's what I really want, if I'm honest with myself. Okay, how do I need to think? How do I need to feel? What would be the actions? What would be the results? So, and I'm not saying that you deny that there are external situations. The problem is that people create from the external situations as opposed to creating from your internal landscape of what you want. You're going to get very different results. So many people are controlled by the external circumstances. And you've got to block out the noise, stay in your lane, and keep up with what you want to go. And sometimes that means muting people on social media. Take control of your mornings, take control of your days, because you get to decide what you want. You get to, so I always say, I don't face reality, I create reality. Mm-hmm. Create the reality that you want, but that can only come if you learn how to think.
Right. Yeah, I love that. And one of the things that keeps coming back to me as you're talking, I have pretty solid boundaries and I absolutely create my reality. And I have people on social media or friends, they're like, you're so lucky. It's so easy for you. And I'm like, okay, well, also it's just a decision. Yeah. Like, it's just a decision. You're making it way too hard. And they're like, well, you know, then this person. And I was like, if people don't like it, they don't have to like it. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to do it so that they will then feel okay. Because I ordered it and I want it. Right? Like,
yeah.
And so I think for a lot of people, you know, maybe this goes back to what we were saying before. It's this idea of status, and it's like this idea of like losing people or people being upset with them, or, you know, people like creating the structure and the boundaries to then go and do the work to think for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Versus being, you know, having their thoughts be dictated by the community, by the news, by the friends, the parents, whatever, you know, really sitting down in silence and saying, what do I want for this life? Who do I want to be? Like, is my current behavior matching my goal? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I speak to my clients about is that once you've decided on your goal, it's already here. So we actually don't want to work to the goal. We want to work from the goal. And this is also a whole new way of thinking for some people. And the beautiful thing is then your goal becomes your set point. And you can say, like, your goal can dictate how you start your days. Your goal can dictate who you spend your time with. Your goal can dictate those boundaries where you need to have boundaries. Your goal dictates what activities you're involved in during the day. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working with clients, we don't work to the goal, we work from the goal. And that's how it becomes easy. When you're working to the goal, then there's a lot of external circumstances that dictate sometimes your next step. When you're working from the goal, you're creating from within you, and it's a whole different process, and it's a process that's a hell of a lot easier.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that too, because it's like going with the tide versus like swimming against it. Like, that's how I sort of envision that.
That's right.
That's amazing. Thank you for this. This has been such a good conversation. And so many times I literally wanted to stand up and be like, yes. Where can people go to learn more about you?
So on Instagram, I am at Coach with Hannah. On Facebook, I have a public group that people can join called Hannah's Success Circle. And we do a lot in there. So I would say those are the first two places to check out. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, honestly, thank you for this. And I hope everybody listening got so much from this. I would even go back and listen to this like three times because there was so much that we jammed into, you know, our time together. So thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.